2. Sorry, I got excited. What's up?
Not much. We spent so much time talking before the episode that now I don't have anything to talk about.
Yeah, I sure you do. Oh, I thought you would come up with something.
I'm trying. Well, when does this will come out? The 13th?
Yeah.
Okay.
You'll have had your party.
Yeah, so at the end of the month, I'm doing, I'm hoping to do a thing on my Twitch, because it'll be my year affiliate anniversary. And so I've been trying to brainstorm on, like, things to do for it, because I took the day off so I can stream. So if anybody out there who's listening has any ideas on neat things that one could do on a stream...
How is it that I've been subbed for 12 months then?
Because it's the end of the month. It counts at the month sets.
Okay. Was I first?
I think so. It was either you.
Hell yeah.
It was either you or Elise. But yeah, one of you. One of the two of you. I think it was you.
Yeah. I'm a supportive friend, y'all.
Yeah, hear you that? Are. Mm. But yeah, so I'm trying to figure out, because I want to do a subathon where, like, you try to get subs and then that increases the amount of time you stream that day or that time period. Mm. And so, like, each person that subs or gifts a sub increases the timer. And, like, the money stuff for it is great. Like, I'm not complaining about that, but I'm really trying to unlock more emote slots for the chat, because, like, I know that realistically I'm not going to maintain a high level of subs anytime soon, mm-hmm. if ever. But in order to unlock emote slots, you have to get sub points, and the only way to do that is by having people sub.
Got it.
And so if I can do a big push and get a bunch of subs, then maybe I can clear a tier or two and unlock a couple of more slots. Because even if the points, like, if, you know, if I get to 50 or whatever, and then the next month, you know, 40 of them drop off, I keep the slots.
Oh, neat.
So,
yeah.
So even if they fall off, you still keep them. And, but then to get the tier, the next tier, you have to hit that and then exceed it again. Mm. So, the amount of the number amount you need doesn't go down. It stays where it is. But I think that if I unlock, you know, two or three more slots, I think that I'll be in a good spot as far as, like, all the emotes I want to kind of cover.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm hoping that it'll work out on the
some of them
subathon.
I think maybe because I watch so much on my phone, I can't actually see.
Yeah.
Not gonna lie.
Yeah, no. And it's sometimes if you click on them, like on the actual emote, it'll show mm-hmm. you a bigger one. And then I have it set up where when someone uses emotes, they'll show up on my stream too, mm-hmm. like in the background. So sometimes you can see them that way. But yeah, there's not really a way to, like, make them look super good that tiny.
Yeah. The ones I use the most are the one from Angel and Demon, which is the cat lurk.
Yeah.
And then I use the butt from So Maddie Games.
I want to
still have it. Still
I want to get a dance emote. I want to get a twerking one. There's one particular design I've seen that's very funny, and I like it a lot. It's the one I want to get.
What was the one you asked me which one I liked better? Wasn't that a dancing one?
Yeah.
Okay. Not a twerking one, though.
No. That artist didn't have one.
Mm.
And I was gonna commission that artist, but they're closed right now because I got too many orders.
I'm a twerker.
I know.
Did I tell you about how I twerk for a random lady outside?
I think you mentioned it, but I don't think you told the podcast.
I was leaving my twerk out class. I was walking out, and there's, like, a kickboxing or something next door. It's like another group of women. They go to this other, and it's like they have punching bags and shit in there. And they always play their music really loud, and it bothers us when we dance, but we appreciate that it's just another group of women there, like, or NBs or, you know, whatever, like, it's another inclusive group. So I was leaving, and this lady was sitting up front of that building in her truck, and I went, "Hey, do you like that class in there?" And I said, "Yeah, I love that class in there." And she goes, "What were you doing?" And I said, "We were twerking." And she goes, "They taught you how to twerk?" And now this black woman did not believe that they taught me with my, I've lost 22 pounds and it's all from my ass. So my flat ass white woman body can twerk, y'all.
I know. And, I've seen it. I've seen the evidence.
And she was like, you could twerk? And I was like, yeah. And she's like, show me. And I was like, fuck, all right. And I like got down and like fucking gave her a couple good ones. And she was like, ah. And I was like, never in my life. If you had told me a year ago that I would twerk for a random lady in a parking lot, I would say, no, I would not. You are wrong.
No, I would not. I will not. I would not like that.
That sounds like the opposite of something I would do.
I don't.
It sounds like I would run away scared of that woman yelling at me.
I don't even want to be perceived by humans.
Yeah.
And
I had somebody tell me they liked my hair. Like, there were like 3 or 4 people who said they liked my hair today. And I was like, I clearly need to dye my hair dark again. I was like, I can't handle this.
How dare people be nice to me?
Yeah, like, oh, stop looking at me.
What do they
want? I'm not here for you to look at.
They want something.
Anyway, that was my story about me twerking.
And I think that it's 100% because it was like a black woman and not Joe Biden.
That's so true.
Like,
I was like, I need to show this black woman that I'm what I'm capable of so like, that she can sees
can
my
you
respect.
Imagine if it was just like an old white dude who's
oh
like,
absolutely
show me.
Fucking not. Did I tell you about the guy? Oh, we can't go on any longer. But there is an old man. There's a Joe Biden story. Maybe we'll put it on Patreon.
Another Joe Biden story?
Did I tell you about the guy at
the restaurant? Yeah.
Did we talk about it? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I was like, oh,
that's
God.
Where the Joe Biden comment came from.
Okay, that was, I was like, oh my God, did I tell you about this?
Wasn't directly actually about Genocide Joe. It was just like, you know.
you have to vote for him though, or else what is the right gonna do? It's like, we know what the right's gonna do. They're doing it right now.
Yep. Still managing.
Sorry.
To.
Free Palestine.
Welcome to the Strange and Unusual, where we discuss the strange and unusual. This is episode 183 of our series, Seeing at the Weird, the Unexplained, and the Devious from Around the World. I'm Roya.
And I'm Casey.
And this week, I'll be shockingly covering another murder. One that may have inspired a popular horror franchise as well. At least a little.
Oh.
It
sounds like next week, with this poll is where it's at, I will also be covering a murder next week, so
nice,
be prepared for the March murder of March.
So as always, you can find us on social media. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and is that no threads. Threads, yeah, I was like, I'm missing one.
X,
I said Twitter, X, whatever.
Oh, I didn't even register MySpace.
If you want us there, we'll be there. And I don't know who our top 10 would be, though. That would be
Do
hard.
They still have? We have to have Tom.
So, and we're also on Patreon at patreon.com/strangeunusual, where, like Casey was saying, we're having the poll episode coming up, and the poll will be active still?
I don't think at the time that this airs, it will any longer be active.
Okay. But then there will be another poll that you can participate
in. Coming up
in
April.
And you can go and listen to all of our episodes. We have some old bonus episodes, access to our Discord. And sometimes the episode comes out a little bit early compared to Spotify and Apple Podcasts and everything else like that. Sometimes it's a considerable amount by like a day, and sometimes it's just a couple of hours, but it's still early. I'll stand by that.
Yeah, she will take that to her grave.
So let me get my notes up. And a little Elise.
Hi, Elise.
Hello. I'm trying to remember what the last thing we talked about, the Patreon. We talked about bonus episodes and all that.
The poll.
Yeah, so the poll we'll have another poll that happens early in April for April's Patreon episode, and then so if you come and you join the Patreon, you can participate in that. And oh yeah, taking the slightly early episodes to the grave, that's
yeah.
And if you can, we ask that you would appreciate if you like, shared, subscribed, left Apple reviews, and if you leave a 5-star review, I will read it on the podcast, even if it's mean, as long as it's not gross. And yeah, so let's get into it. Wee woos, murder,
ah,
suicide,
oh God,
spousal abuse.
This story's not great so far.
No. Vehicular intimidation. I don't know if that's a thing, but
people have, I think it is,
car anxiety. So, like, I don't know. I put it in here. And then also realistically child abuse, too, because there are kids involved. None of the kids die. It's only adults die. But still rough sucks. Rough content ahead, guys.
Did I tell you a guy at my work got shot in a road rage incident?
Yeah, you mentioned it very casually.
In the buttocks. That's right. Yeah. I did tell you that. So that's what it made me think of. Like, now I think that all the time. Like, if I cut in front of somebody, like, not like, you know, cut them off, but like, if I get in front of somebody, I always worry they're going to be like, fuck that person, kill them. I'm like, shit.
Yeah, I have to, every time I'm like, at least you have to regulate when you're angry at people in the car, because you don't fucking know what people are going to do anymore. Like, yeah. It is fucking to live.
Yep.
And anyway. You haven't
been hate crimed yet, which is great.
Yeah, I have not been hate crimed yet. I've only been positively complimented about
positively crimed.
Positively crimed about my kafia.
Love crime.
But yeah. All right. So picture it. April 15th, 1990. Casey and I can't because we were only a few months old.
We were babies.
But a couple was driving on a stretch of rural highway outside of Coldwater, Michigan. They were enjoying their Sunday drive, which was kind of a tradition for them to go on just this, like, kind of quiet rural drive, just the couple by themselves. And a van came up behind them almost out of nowhere. The van was a green Chevy, and the driver was aggressive, riding their bumper before finally overtaking and passing them. Ray and Marie Thornton were just enjoying their drive when they were startled by the car, but the couple had pretty decent humor about it. They'd been playing a game in the car where they were making up slogans from the license plates of passing cars. So when the van went past, Marie saw GZ at the beginning of the plate and joked, "Geez, he's in a hurry." And they sort of shrugged it off and continued on, and the van zooming off in the distance now. Like, just, you know, gone. Like, it happens to everybody when we're driving. And so they were driving and they were passing this abandoned schoolhouse off the side of the highway, and they noticed the same van was parked outside of the building, and Marie saw something strange. The person in the van was a tall, heavyset man, and he was removing something from the van as they passed, and it looked like he was pulling out a dirty bedsheet from the van.
Oh no.
Marie thought it might have been bloodied, but she couldn't tell from the distance they were at when they saw it, and they're like passing by. And so they continued on their drive when Ray noticed that exact same Chevy van hauling ass behind them again. This interaction, so the Chevy gained speed rapidly, so just rapidly caught up to them, and was riding their rear bumper to the point that if Ray had slowed down, they would have been in an accident.
Wow.
For 2 miles, matching speeds, however fast Ray would go, the van would just butt right back up against the bumper.
That's Jeepers Creepers.
Yeah, this interaction, incidentally, was the inspiration for the opening scene of Jeepers Creepers, even including the license plate slogan game. Yeah. Yeah.
Where'd you get them peepers? That's what they say in the song.
And so the Thorntons were starting to panic, unsure of what to unsure of what to do with this clearly angry person on their ass. So they decided to turn off the highway and go more toward, like, where the town, like a city, was.
Mm-hmm.
And as they did, the van suddenly pulled off to the side of the road. Well, Ray and Marie were driving for a little bit and then decided that they needed to turn around because they needed to turn this situation into the police. And so they wanted to go and get the rest of the license plate number because she only had GZ.
No, girl.
And so they turned around and found the owner out of the car, out of the van, and he was changing the license plate. So as they passed the van, they saw that the front passenger door was also open, and inside was unmistakably soaked with blood.
I hate
that. They drove all the way back to the schoolhouse to see what he had left there. I assume...
Where? What are these white people doing?
I know. I assume that they're trying to be helpful because they were afraid that there could have been a dying or injured person there. And that maybe they could go and get that person and put them in the car and then take them to the hospital. So that maybe if they weren't dead, they could get help. That's the only thing I can think of as far as why they would go back to the schoolhouse and fucking get out of their car.
These people were raised on boiled chicken, okay? There is no other excuse.
And so when they found, so they got back to the schoolhouse and they found what had been taken out of the van, which was a white sheet that was unmistakably covered in blood and partially stuffed into an animal hole, like a little, like, where a fox or a rabbit would have burrowed.
Like a burrow?
Yeah. And the guy had just taken it and kind of, like, wadded it up and, like, tried to shove it into this hole, but the hole was too small. And he was panicking, so he just kind of abandoned it and went and got in his car. Yeah. And so they drove to a phone and called the police, letting them know what had just happened, unaware that they were followed by a man who was already on, the police were already on a hunt for, 46-year-old Dennis DePew.
Dennis.
I know, it's always a fucking Dennis.
Dennis the Menace.
So born in 1943, Dennis Henry DePew was a Michigan native who remained in his home state and worked as a property assessor. Which was pretty successful at it too, from what I could gather from what I read and what I watched. And in 1971, he married Marilyn and they had three children, two boys and a girl. So it's boys in the middle. So older girl, boy middle, and then a younger daughter.
Two boys and a girl.
Two girls
and a boy?
Two girls and a boy.
Okay.
Older girl, middle boy, younger girl.
Got it.
And Marilyn worked successfully, I might add, as a high school counselor in Coldwater. She was very popular with the students and staff. The marriage grew troubled, though, as Dennis began to become more paranoid and controlling, and it was starting to wear Marilyn down. She had really never given him a reason to think she was doing anything or causing any issues or anything like that. And so Dennis isolated himself from his family and accused Marilyn of, quote, turning the children against him, end quote, to almost anyone who would listen.
Dennis.
Yeah, she filed for divorce in 1989, telling her attorney that Dennis was trying to control every decision that she made in her life and that she was not dealing with it any longer.
Good for you, girl. I'm sure you didn't make it out of this, but respect.
Dennis actually made no claim on the house following the divorce, but did maintain a home office. The article I found said in the garage. The episode I found said that it was more like a guest house. So I'm wondering if it wasn't like a garage that they turned into like a suite.
Or like had an upstairs that was a suite.
And so he has a home office that's connected but separated by a door with a lock on it. And when I say he pushed for it, so, like, he didn't push. He basically said that Marilyn could have whatever she wanted. Like, he wasn't fighting her on the money. He wasn't fighting her on the property she wanted. He wasn't fighting her on the kids and his, like, he wanted to have,
like, visitation.
Visitation, but he wasn't, like, pushing for, like, we need 50-50 or I should have the kids and you can have visitation. Like, he wasn't pushing for that. Like, everything, it seemed like from what I watched that he was not amiable, but he was trying to show her, like, hey, look, if you'll work with me and you'll talk to me, like, we can make this work, because he really didn't want to divorce her.
Oh, okay.
And so he just wanted to
control her.
Yeah, he was kind of trying to say, like, if we can have the conversation, then maybe we can come up to an agreement. But if you're not willing to have the conversation, then, you know, he's trying to kind of put the blame, but also he very much did not want the divorce. Marilyn reported to one of her coworkers that she had come home from work one day and found Dennis sitting on the couch in the living room, even though she had changed all the locks on all the doors in the house.
I don't care for that.
Yeah, and she never was able to figure out how he got in. I'm assuming he stole keys.
Yeah.
Like the kids or something. And the kids don't like Dennis either. Oh. So I don't see them, like, trying to like let him in or being able to be sweet talked into letting him in or something. And none of the kids, from what we know, at least, none of the kids were ever like threatened by him to let him into the house or to give him the keys. None of the kids told Marilyn that had happened.
That's good.
Yeah. And so in December 1989, the divorce was finalized. And then on Easter Sunday, 1990, Dennis arrived at Marilyn's home to pick up two of their children. Julie, the oldest daughter, was just like, absolutely not. I'm not going with dad. She was like, it looked like she was probably around 16-ish, 15, 16. So old enough for the court to recognize that like she has autonomy to say that she's not going.
Mm-hmm.
And the youngest daughter didn't want to go with him either. And he went inside to get their son, and their son was stalling because he didn't want to go either. But he was they're all kind of afraid of Dennis. He's a bully. Mm-hmm. He was mean to mom. He's not nice to them, you know. And so why do we want to go spend Easter weekend with dad?
Yeah, this sounds awful.
Yeah. And so Marilyn tried to talk to Dennis to let him know that the kids didn't want to go. And that he shouldn't make them. That the kids were all old enough to decide if they wanted to go or not. And that they, as parents, should respect their decision, basically, to not want to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And this sent Dennis over the edge. And he grabbed her and began shouting at her. And pushed her down the stairs in front of all three of their children.
Damn. Dennis.
Dennis followed Marilyn down the stairs and began beating her, their children yelling at him and pleading for him to stop. The eldest daughter took off out of the house to a neighbor to call the police and try to get help for their mother. And when the daughter and the neighbor came over, Dennis was carrying a very seriously injured Marilyn, telling them that he was taking her to the hospital, but they never got. In an interview that I saw with Julie, which is the eldest daughter, she describes it a little bit differently. She says that her mom was walking, but barely, and that she was like trying to talk to her mom, and her mom just like was not able to communicate. Like she was so out of it that she couldn't respond to Julie when she was trying to talk to her. And when the police came, they immediately began a widespread search. And then later got a call from a very frightened couple, the Thorntons, who had found the bloody sheet and had a very scary encounter. The forensics team sealed off the schoolhouse crime scene, and they were able to confirm that the tire tracks matched the type of van that Dennis was driving. All the evidence pointed to Dennis killing Marilyn, but they didn't have a body yet.
No.
The next day, a highway worker found the body of Marilyn Depew, shot in the back of the head once, near a deserted road. According to the Unsolved Mysteries episode, the road was midway between the schoolhouse and her home, which could be why Dennis was in such a hurry behind the Thornton. He had just dumped her body, presumably at least dumped her body if not killed her, there, and was leaving it. And that's why he was, the first round of him riding their ass was him trying to get away from the body and also get rid of the evidence that he could.
Mm-hmm.
Over the next days and weeks, Dennis sent several weird rambling letters to friends and family trying to justify murdering his wife. A lot of like biblical references and lines and things like that. And just everyone was very uncomfortable with it. No one was a fan of what he was trying to manipulate or say that he was right in killing.
Right.
One quote I found was, quote, "Marilyn had many, many opportunities to treat me fairly during this divorce, and she chose to string it out, trick me, lie to me, and when you lose your wife, children and home, there's not much left. I was too old to start over." And
excuse me, join match.com or something, sir. Like, get over it.
It reminds me of that what's his name, the guy who killed his whole family,
and then started a new life and was found in Virginia.
Yeah,
I know who you mean, and I can't think of his name.
John List.
Lists.
Yeah. Ooh. I was like, it's John something. But yeah, it's just like the, you know, I have to kill my whole family because it's an embarrassment. It's an
honor killing.
It's an embarrassment for them to live because I fucked up. It's like, well, then why
didn't you... It's embarrassment for them to be on welfare.
Yeah, why didn't you kill yourself then?
Like, yeah. Bye, Dad.
Not that I'm encouraging anybody to kill themselves.
No.
But, you know, if you're at that point where you're trying to use killing other people as a justification for something you fucked up with and you're not looking at, like, maybe I'm the problem, it's me, like...
No, I'm John List, and I'm clearly... I can't let them live through this horrible tragedy of me fucking up, but I can make amends.
So Dennis was on the lam for almost exactly a year, and no one had any idea where he had gone or where he would have even gone. The letters, so there were 17 of the letters in total, and they were postmarked from Virginia, Iowa, and Oklahoma.
Hmm.
And so they were kind of like, well, maybe he's in one of these three states, but he wasn't. It turns out he was in Dallas, Texas. And on March 20th, 1991, there was an episode of a certain little show called Unsolved Mysteries that was running a story about a man named Dennis DePew, who was wanted for murdering his ex-wife. In Texas, a woman that the Unsolved Mysteries episode only identifies as Mary came home to find her boyfriend's car in the driveway, which was unusual because normally he parked it in the garage.
Oh no.
He was named Hank Queen and told his girlfriend that he had to make an emergency trip home because his mother was very ill. He went about the house gathering up clothes and personal items, packing the bag for his trip. He even asked Mary to make him some sandwiches for the drive. And it turns out that he was doing this to keep her from watching a very interesting episode of Unsolved Mysteries. He said goodbye. You
sneaky bastard.
He said goodbye and headed down the driveway towards his mother's house in his 1984 green Chevrolet van.
Gross. Dennis, we know it's you.
Mary would later say that she had a strange feeling at this interaction that it was the last time she was ever going to see him. And she doesn't know how she knew, she just knew.
It's one of those things.
Yeah. He took off immediately because he knew that there was a high chance that one of Mary's friends would recognize him because it was an extremely popular show.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't long before someone turned him in, calling Mary and letting her know. And then she watched the episode and was like, yes, that's definitely him. And then turned everything she knew into the police. And just, it's not hard to recognize him, though. Like, if you want, take a second and look him up. Or if you don't want to, remember that roach guy from Men in Black? The sugar water guy? Yeah. It's him, but just marginally less sweaty, I assume.
Okay.
Like.
Nah, I gotta know.
I was going to say, you want me to pull it up for you?
Yeah, just send it to me.
It's one particular picture that he kept popping up.
Yep. Wow. That's something. That is something. Yep. Okay. I've seen enough of that.
And just for additional.
Yep. No,
I see it. And
100%.
It's also, okay, so one more thing. This is super fascinating for everybody in the listening to the podcast. Let me see if I can. There are pictures I have seen with him next to the Jeepers Creepers guy. And I'm like,
I can see it.
I can see it. It's the jowls.
It is.
And the teeth. Jeepers Creepers. But yeah, I've seen pictures of them. There's one specific picture of the Jeepers Creepers guy that they post next to pictures of him when they talk about, like, the connection between the murder and the movie. Uh-huh. And it's just, like, when they're side by side, you're like, it's the same picture. This is the same person.
The pictures are the same. That's the same picture.
But yeah, so Dennis drove into Louisiana and then across the... drove into Louisiana and then across it toward the border of Mississippi. Mm-hmm. And he was spotted by the Louisiana state troopers on this drive. And they started a 15-mile high-speed chase after him.
Wow.
The Mississippi authorities were alerted by Louisiana and were laying in wait for the van, having erected a blockade on the road alongside the FBI. So they're also here. Because, you know, he's now, the FBI can be involved because he's crossed state lines with evidence.
Crossing state lines, yeah.
Presumably in the van. And so Dennis's van ran just straight through the roadblock, and officers shot out both of his rear tires. In the Unsolved Mysteries episode, they talk about how the sheriff had told them to take out the front tire, but they missed. But they took out both of the back tires when he only told them to take out one of the front tires. They got both of the back instead. I'm like, all right, you know?
That's all right. Pigs don't follow directions, right?
And so the, he continued on for like half a mile with no back tires, and his car just like actually just gave out, basically. And Dennis was shooting at the police officers and trying to ram them off the road, like while he was dragging the rear half of his car just on the road. And all of this was forced to a stop around 4 a.m. And there was one last gunshot when Dennis DePew shot himself in the head, killing himself.
My God, I guess that's the way to go.
Yeah, after having a little bit of a standoff with the police, he was still, like, trying to shoot them and stuff, and then kind of gave up and finally killed himself instead. But yeah, and I was like, Jeepers Creepers, huh? And then I watched the clip because I haven't actually seen Jeepers Creepers. I know of it. I don't think
you would like it.
But I knew the scene. Like, I knew the opening scene was kind of iconic.
I don't think that's a horror movie for you.
And so I watched the clip of the scene and I was like, wow, even to the license plate game. Yeah. Like, because there are people who are trying to say like, oh, they're not actually connected. People are just reaching. And I was like, if it was just the guy following, yeah, I would say, yeah, okay, you're reaching. But like the guy following and they're playing the license plate game, and the license plate game that they play is kind of similar, like the line that she says is kind of similar to, or he says, is kind of similar to like the idea of, you know, geez. Yeah,
I don't remember enjoying Jeepers Creepers, and I'm like, that's a lot. I don't think it's something that you would be like, oh, I like this.
Yeah,
like, I liked Scream.
Yeah, I liked Scream.
You liked Scream, so
I think I don't like
a lot of body horror.
It depends on what it is.
I think for me, I like a little spook, but I don't like just here. Let me cut open and have a bunch of guts for no discernible reason.
Yeah, I like psychological. Like, the aspect that I like about Scream is the idea. Obviously, I went in knowing who it was, but the idea that you go this whole movie with all these red herrings, and like you think it's this person, then it's this person, then you think it's maybe that person. Even though watching it, like, there's no way it wasn't Billy Loomis and the other guy. Like, when you watch it, there's so many things that happen that you're just like, he smiled. Like, that was the thing that, there were two things that got me really early in Scream. And one is that you can clearly tell there are two voices on the phone at the first part. If you listen closely enough, there are two distinct speakers. Which I understand, if you were in that situation, you're not registering that. I get that. Like, Drew Barrymore is not going to recognize the subtlety in the voice change, which is why he starts yelling, so it's harder to tell that there's a difference.
Yeah.
And then the other part is when they're putting Billy in the car, in the cop car, and he smiles. And, like, when no one can see him, and I'm like, it's fucking him. It's fucking, like, how is this going to be a question at this point?
I'm trying to remember Matthew Lillard's character.
Yeah, I can't remember his name. Because I think Billy Loomis is the hot one.
Matthew Lillard is Shaggy.
Yeah.
Skeet.
Stu.
That's
Stu.
Stewart, yes.
Yeah, and then Billy is the other actor.
Skeet Ulrich.
Yeah.
Or Ulrich.
But yeah, and I was just like watching it and I was like, yep, I'm here at this point. And I'm like, how can you have a question that it is not two killers, and like watching the movie, that it's not two killers and it's very clearly Billy is one of them.
Yep.
But I can see, like, going into it without the idea of, like, that had never been done, really, like the two killers kind of angle, that wouldn't have even registered as a possibility that there would have been two, you know?
Yeah, and I think so many people came up with things like Jason and Michael Myers, and, like, they were single slashers.
Yeah.
And so this was, for the time, a new thing, so.
This is a movie podcast now.
It's a movie podcast. It is.
Oops. Watch Scream if you haven't seen it. It's good.
Right in the butt talks. Well, that was dark. I mean, I knew it was a murder, but, like, Penny Jackson was kind of like,
Like, it's kind of funny.
Like, not funny, because, you know, like, murder is not funny. But Penny Jackson was kind of a boss. Like,
yeah, just a little bit, yeah.
She was like, I thought I was going to get his heart, but he doesn't have one. I was like, fuck.
Maybe I should go stab him again.
Also just a man hater, so that could be it. That's probably why I side with Penny.
I'm just happy.
I mean, I don't.
I'm happy that the kids did not get hurt, even though, yeah, like, psychologically that really sucks. And yeah, I'm happy that Mary did not let him know she knew. Like, I'm happy he was gone when she found out, so that she, yes, also did not get probably killed.
Yeah. Well, yeah, thanks and for then, joining us today.
And then, no, and then all the bullshit of, like, it's too late for me to start over.
Oh, yeah.
And then you fucking are dating another girl in a year.
Yeah.
And
you look, no, fuck you.
And you look like the Roach Man from, yeah, Men in Black. Come on.
No.
That's not a reason.
We are men haters. We are Dennis haters. I've never met a good Dennis in my life.
I haven't either. I don't think I've met a Dennis in life,
I don't
though.
Think I've met a Dennis either.
But we're two on shitty Dennis's then.
Yeah, now I'll know. I'll know to keep an eye open if I do ever meet a Dennis. I'll be like, I know.
3 for 3. If you watch It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, Dennis is a fucking villain on that show. So.
All right. Well, now thank you for joining us today as we discuss the murder of Marilyn Depew. And we want to hear from you. So send us your stories, your questions, and your feedback to strangeunusualpodcast@gmail.com. And if you are sending a story, we just ask that you put listener story in the subject line so that we can sort through those a little more easily. Do you know somebody who was on Unsolved Mysteries?
Oh,
that would be some cool shit.
Yeah. Especially the original ones. Like, the new one would be
Robert
cool
Sack.
Too.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, the Robert Sack ones, like, did they get to meet him? Was Robert Sack super, yeah, cool? Like,
I want to know.
Was he a huge diva? Like, I want to know. I want to know everything.
Please. I hope he wasn't. I hope he was great.
I'm sure he was. You don't work that, like, you don't do that kind of job and not be
in
great.
An abandoned mill in the middle of Colorado.
Oh, yeah. I think this was, I can't remember. It's on YouTube. All the Robert Sack Unsolved Mysteries are on YouTube.
Yeah.
So that's where I watched this episode. And then it also is covered in an episode of Man with a Van, which is evidently available on Discovery Plus, but not on Max that bought Discovery. Couldn't find it anywhere. And then he was on another, like, Fathers Who Kill or, like, Married to Murder kind of show. But I wasn't able to find that one either. So Unsolved Mysteries is the only video I was able to watch about it.
I just wanted you to know that it sounds like somebody was hammering something upstairs, so there's going to be a boom, 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 boom that you'll have to cut out. I saw it hitting on the audio.
Okay. I didn't hear it, so yeah.
Well, actually, I don't know if you saw on Instagram. Remember during the Curse of the Colonel episode where we were talking about Candace DeLong?
Yeah.
Did you see we got a comment on the picture on Instagram?
Uh-uh.
She lost it. Candace DeLong has been stuck in my head all week from Buffalo Bruja. They're like, I was like, were you one of the people screaming her name at us? They're like, I was. I could hear the voice. And I was like, hell yeah. You knew it. You called it. You said it was going to happen. Somebody screaming at me. Tell me the name.
Yeah, that's why I was looking it up.
Yeah, she snapped.
I know, it made me want to go watch Snapped.
I know, right?
You can also find us on Instagram and Threads at strange_unusual_podcast or our personal accounts, Roy Rampage and Calamity Casey. You can find us on X at _strangeunusual, at Calamity Casey, and at Roy Rampage. We're also on Facebook. Just search for the Strange and Unusual podcast and look for our logo. I am also streaming on Twitch at twitch.tv/RoyRampage pretty consistently, so come and stop by and hang out, and we can talk about episodes, cases, whatever you want to. You can also join us over on Patreon at patreon.com/strangeunusual. Like I said at the top of the episode, we have old bonus episodes that are available on there. We also have monthly polls where we provide the Patreon members 3 or 4 or 5, something like that, Patreon poll options with very little detail and sometimes very ambiguous titling, and let them vote, and then we will cover whichever subject wins at the end of the month. And there's also access to our Discord, so you can get on our Discord and share dank memes or talk to one another about what we should vote, what you should vote for in the poll episode, and just talk about the episode, talk about work stuff, talk about your cats and dogs, your bunnies, you know, whatever you want to, all on our Discord, which you can access through our Patreon. However, we understand right now that sometimes $2 is $2 too many. And if you, we would appreciate it if you would like, share, subscribe, rate, review, anything like that. And if you leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or show me where other written podcasts reviews exist for us, then I will read it on air, as long as it is not gross and racist, even if it's mean to us, though. Please be mean to us. It'd be super funny.
Yeah.
I think we've read 1-star reviews on here because they were just funny.
Mr. Binky or...
Yeah, Mr. Brinky.
Brinky. Think you're cute with your little name.
But yeah, that's Dennis and Marilyn Depew.
Bummer.
Bummer. That's what I'm here for. The bummer episodes.
Well, like I said, as of the time of this recording, the murder episode for me, for the poll episode, is the winner right now. So I'm going to be a bummer next week.
Hell yeah.
Bummers, and there are phalanges involved. Presuming that the two other votes don't go somewhere else.
Yeah, it is pretty tight.
All right. Bye.
Bye.